basketball. We drive up to Berkeley and Stanford to see the football game.
Then all the time you were in America, did you ever write to your relatives in China?
Not me. My father and mother did. I never met my relatives. I never knew who they were. Except one came over from China to study at USC. And he stayed with us for a while, lived at our house.
But your parents did continue the relationship
by
writing to them. But your father never went back, though, after he went back to bring your wife and
your
mother.
He went back in the 1920s, and he went back for a visit. He did go back again by himself, and my mother stayed here.
Now, at that time, after you have grown, did you belong to any associations in Chinatown?
No, just for a short time. I joined the Native Sons of the Golden West, that's the NSGS.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't stay with it very long. It was Depression time. And the money situation, there were always assessments that I couldn't afford, so I had to drop out. That's the only one.
Mm-hmm. Now then, in Chinatown, you among the Chinese that you know, which particular person that you consider is the most important individuals, the prominent?
Peter
Chu
Hu.
Why did you consider him?
Well, he's the one that, for one thing, he founded the new Chinatown. He was one of the founders. And he also helped many Chinese, like the laundrymen, the Chinese laundrymen. They were harassed by the city for not having this regulation or that regulation. So Peter Su Hu stood up for them.
He was working for the city then, wasn't he?
He was in the engineering department.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose you have this information somewhere. Anyway, he he took charge and helped them go through all this harassment. They were very appreciative of it. In fact, I think they gave him all kinds of awards and things. But he never charged them any money. He just did it because he wanted to help. And I guess there were other groups that he helped. So I consider him very, very important.
What kind of jobs were most of the Americans, Chinese, engaged in before the war? Do you recall?
Before the war?
What did most Chinese do for a living?
Very menial jobs before the war.
Before the war.
My brother was cleaning apartments in some of these nice apartment houses on Wilshire Boulevard. The Bryson is one of them. They were houseboys. That was very popular. You know, students would go to school and be houseboys.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my friends were houseboys for some movie stars, movie people. And then chauffeuring was very popular for Chinese before the war. And then the others were just businessmen, restaurants, laundries, herb companies. But that was before the war. After the war, things really changed.
But at that time, before the war, what is the average income of the Chinese?
Well, if you worked, you got maybe $20 a week. Very low. And then if you were a houseboy, naturally, in most of the places, they would give you a room to live in, a few dollars a month, maybe $60 a month.
But at that time, how about the prices of food?
Oh, way down, actually.
So even at $20 a week, that was sufficient to live on.
That was sufficient. Uh-huh. It's all relative, I guess.
Now, at that time, were most Chinese live near each other, you know, live close to Chinese people?
Well, all I know is there was the Chinatown, naturally, where the congregation. But there was a group out here on 37th and, say, near Vermont and Normandy. There were quite a few Chinese there, a group.
Now, at that time...
Then the rest were scattered.
At that time, what did the Chinese do with the money that they have saved? Did they gamble it away, or did they send it back to China, or what did they do with it?
Well, I think most of them saved it, like some of these old laundrymen. I used to see that they'd save their money and then go back to China and live. That was some of the older generation. Then, of course, naturally, they would always gamble mahjong or something in Chinatown. But whether they won or lost, I don't know. But they did spend a lot of time gambling.
Did they believe in the banks at that time?
Yes, they did at that time. I guess maybe before my time, they did.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you happen to know of any Chinese who were involved in... politics in China?
In China? Mm-hmm. No, I don't know of any China in China.
Did many Chinese feel they had obligations in China, such as family support and things like
yes,
that?
Yes, sometimes our relatives would write to us and ask for help, and we would send some money back to them. In fact, when I was, after my father died, and the communists were giving so much trouble in China, we received a few letters from, my mother did, received a few letters from the relatives. If we could spare it, we would send them something. Even though we didn't know them. My mother knew, of course.
Now, back to the Depression.
Yeah.
Were the Chinese in Los Angeles affected by the Depression?
Yes, I think just as much as any other group of people.
What made you say that? Did you see things that made you feel that the Chinese were affected?
Well...
Were a lot of Chinese out of jobs?
Well, the only effect is that they just didn't have the money to spend. And, some of them had to leave school. Some of my classmates couldn't afford to continue school. But as jobs, I don't know, they always seemed to do something. Even though they probably didn't make much, they seemed to keep busy.
Now then, in Los Angeles, did you ever feel there was a certain amount of hostility towards the Chinese?
Yes. Like I said, when I started looking for a home, I think it must have been 1952. That was after the war, too. And I went out to look for homes. And they would say, this area is restricted. That meant that they couldn't sell to any Orientals or minorities. So after looking around, I just about gave up. And I came out here where there was no restriction. It was nice out here, but it was wild. There was nobody out here hardly, no sidewalks. I took this property and put up my house. It was real nice and peaceful. No harassment from these restricted so-called people.
But this neighborhood now is all surrounded
it's all
by...
all black now.
Uh-huh.
That started, I would say, in the 60s.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you consider the Chinese have done better than the general population of Los Angeles?
I would say yes. From the difference between the Chinese before the war and to the present time, there's so much of an improvement. It's remarkable. You can see the doctors, architects, all the big professional people, and they came up very fast.
Why do you suppose the Chinese seem to be doing better than other people in Los Angeles?
Why? Well, it seems they, when I was going to school, it seemed that the Oriental people always got the highest marks. Not me particularly, but my classmates, they always seemed to do so well. All straight A's. And maybe that had a great deal to do with their success later.
So, have you ever compared the Chinese with the Jewish people in the way of doing business?
No, I haven't compared, but you hear things that the Chinese are even more shrewd than the Jewish people when it comes to business.
No, I have a hunch this is not moving.
Let me see. It is. It's moving.
But I don't see the number here moving. Oh, yeah, it
it's
is
moving.
Very slowly.
It's going.
too slow.
Once it starts, I think it keeps going.
Is it true that American-born Chinese, eager to have sons more than daughters?
Well, I guess so. I was very happy to have a son first, and then I was happy to have a daughter, but I guess that instilled from way back generations that they like to have sons.
What did most people think of interracial marriages?
Well, I'm very much against it, my father and mother. My daughter is married to Caucasian, but that's another generation. But in the old generation, it's was very, very much against it. The older generation was very much against it. Now it's quite common. Because the Chinese are a very proud people, and they don't like to see any mixture.
As a parent, what types of jobs would you consider to be ideal for yourself or for your children? What types of jobs would you hold highly for your children?
Well, I have no special type. I think it's up to the children to decide what they want to be. And if I had preference, well, I'd still let, if they wanted to do something else, well, naturally it would be up to them to take their own, it's their own life that they have to live with. So it just happens that my son is in the same profession I am, so I didn't have to make a choice there.
Well, that's wonderful. Is there something else you would like to add, Kath?
I'd like to talk about the prejudice part, starting from my childhood. In 1913, my father built a new home on Pico Boulevard. We moved in. And I remember a friend of the family came to visit us that time, and I had needed a haircut. So this friend offered to take me to the barber shop just down the street. We went into the barber shop and tried to get me a haircut. And the barber said, no, you can't cut the hair for Chinese people.
What year was that?
1913. Oh. So we went down to another barber shop farther down. I think we tried about 3 barber shops. I could get no haircut. So that's one of my youngest recollections. And then when I went to grammar school in junior high, I went to go swimming in the swimming pool. It was a very popular spot in Bimini Baths, where all the kids used to go swimming. So we couldn't get in there. The Chinese were barred, and I guess all minorities were barred from there. And then when I was going to college, the...
During your college year, it would be
1929
and thereabout.
I went to this famous ballroom out here near UCLA. I forgot the name of it. And all the big bands used to play there, like Benny Goodman. So we went in there one night, to the four of us. And we got in all right, you know, paid our admission, got in. But they wouldn't let us on the dance floor. They said, no minorities are allowed on the dance floor. So my friend and I talked to the management for a while, and he said this might cause trouble if we were to get on the floor. So we were denied the dancing. And I guess all the dance halls were that way. Even the ones at the beaches would not allow minorities. And then another time during my childhood was a restaurant. My father went to this Forum Theater out here on Pico Boulevard. It was a beautiful theater. And upstairs they had a nice place to eat. And after the show, my father and my two brothers and I went up to have a snack, and they would not serve us. There was several places that wouldn't serve us during my lifetime, but that never deterred my father. He just went anyway, and he was usually accepted anywhere he went, all the hotels and so forth.
Do you find things have changed quite a little bit last 20 years or so?
A great deal, mm-hmm. Yes.
So in other words, your children do not come upon the same prejudices that you did.
No, none at all. I don't think they have any prejudices at all.
What do you suppose it brought about the change or changes?
Well, all I know is it did come after the war, and I guess people became a little more educated, more tolerant because of better communication. They got to know that the world is bigger than just the United States. But it's in the old days, it's funny. There were people who were very glad to know my father. They invited us into their homes. We used to go visit them in Pasadena, I remember. And then there was Judge Thomas B. White. He used to help my father a great deal because he was harassed by the American Medical Board. You know, they were jealous of his practice, I guess.
Oh, yes. At that time, I understand that herbalist wasn't recognized.
No,
in
not
any
recognized.
Way.
But even though not recognized, they were very popular with the American people. And Judge Thomas B. White would be very helpful to my father. He was a very good friend, even though he probably could be criticized for it.
End of tape 1, side 8.